so many memories to go. Donating it at WPFW can give it new life, providing support for quality public radio programs. Donating is easy. Just call 1-866-973-9227 or donate securely online at WPFWFM.org. When the tow truck comes to take your car away, you'll see all the good things it provides on the horizon. Call today, 1-866-WPFW. Car. Donate online at WPFWFM.org. On the expressway to your heart, that expressway. At 89.3 FM. This is member supported. WPFW, Washington.
Good evening. My name's Garland Nixon. It's 6 o'clock, and that means it's time for News Views here on WPFW 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C. And I am here tonight with, if I'm lucky, Mark Levine. You there, Mark?
I am here.
And we've got lots of things to talk about. We're on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. here on WPFW. A lot of interesting things. We had a lot of interesting show. We've had members of Congress and owners of pretty cool corporations. And a couple weeks ago, we had former Duke and NBA star Gene Banks to tell us what it was like to play on the court with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. So we do a lot of very, very interesting, unique things. We talk about what's in the news here on News Views. Tonight we have, I think, an interesting subject to talk about. Let me just do a brief chronology of three incidents. March 29th, Mayflower, Texas, an Exxon Pegasus pipeline bursts, carries about 90,000 barrels per day. And the last time I checked, it appears that they're using paper towels. Yes, that would be household paper towels for the cleanup. April 15th. It appears, make sure I got everything right, April 15th, Boston Marathon, two young men torch off a couple bombs, killing three people, injuring over 280, very tragic event. April 17th, in Texas, a fertilizer plant blows up. And when I say blows up, I don't mean it was just a little pop. The explosion was so large, it registered as a 2.1 magnitude earthquake, and it shook houses 50 miles away. 270 tons of ammonium nitrate, which is what Timothy McVeigh used to blow up the Oklahoma City Federal Building. 270 tons of ammonium nitrate blew up. And there's a lot of issues there, such as they weren't reported to the federal government, the ammonium nitrate being on that site wasn't reported as the law requires to the federal government. So we've got three incidents, of course, two of them being fatal, which separates them. But it seems to me that we have very different media perspectives and media coverage. Mark, what say you?
Well, I think it's certainly true. Listen, that the Boston coverage is, for lack of a better word, sexy. I mean, it's interesting to learn about the inner lives of these two young men. We want to know what radicalized them. We can listen to their uncles in Maryland or their parents in Dagestan. We can listen to the people who knew them. So there's a lot of talk as to what made these terrorists go bad. Less talk, I should say, even in Boston, about the victims of their terror, a little bit about the young boy and the woman, the Chinese woman, and then the MIT police officer. But, of course, in Texas, in West Texas, this isn't Boston. This isn't a major media place. This is a small town. And this is a place where major media doesn't go very often, where the people know each other, and where, let's face it, this kind of event happens more than we'd like to acknowledge. And in this particular case, of course, the plant didn't do its homework, didn't claim there was any risk of fire or explosion to the Department of Homeland Security, so that when the fire started, we had at least 10, they think more, they don't even know how many people are dead yet, volunteer firefighters run toward the plant to put out the flames. And then, of course, there was the massive explosion that caused the earthquake, that caused pieces of that plant were found 2 miles away. Mm-hmm. What do you think about how powerful an explosion is to blow something 2 miles away?
Well,
it was
quite
an explosion. Yeah, it's a big mushroom cloud, even, like a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, and not to mention this. Had the first responders known that there was 270 tons of ammonium nitrate there, when they found out there was a fire, they may have very wisely been going in the other direction. If they
knew
it was there, if you know, and I'm pretty sure they know what ammonium nitrate is, if you know that there's a fire around and there's 270 tons of ammonium nitrate, that's no place to be.
Yeah, and you need to evacuate everyone pretty quick. There's a nursing home, there's a school, they're all right close to the plant. In fact, the plant had to get a special permit to be within a half a mile of the school and the nursing home. And they're lucky that none of those people died, too. But we know that it flattened homes for almost half a mile away. It tore the walls off of apartment buildings. It damaged homes in a two-mile radius. I mean, this was a powerful explosion, and it really didn't get a lot of the attention. I wonder if Boston had just not happened 2 days before. I wonder if we'd be talking a lot more about Texas.
Well,
I don't know. I hope so.
Well, you know, I tend to think not, and let me tell you why. I'm not far be it for this is no conspiracy theory. I don't think this is a conspiracy. I think it's just the way things work. I think there's a difference between a conspiracy. I don't think people have to sit around in smoky back rooms and plot things out. I think this is the way things work here. If a corporation kills a bunch of people for one reason or another, then the media attention is much less. Doesn't it appear to you that when corporations in America do things, and keep in mind, if you look at the major media, it's owned by major corporations. That's why I said they don't have to plot and plan some conspiracy theory. You know, corporations stick together. And it appears to me that now had a terrorist attack or had someone killed 12 or 13 people, and through terrorism, it would have been 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop. But because it was an explosion and a corporation was at fault, you don't see much. The other thing is this. You know, in watching the news now, you hear so much about the Boston bombings. It appears that the FBI had this guy in his sight. And so now it almost appears as though people are trying to make it as though the FBI was, you know, at fault, that they should have got this guy. They should have known, which, of course, is ridiculous with all the, you know, the FBI doesn't have the resources to watch every last person who comes in and out of the country or who is referred to them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But there's finger pointing. We've got to know more. We've got to dig more. What happened? Yet with this, clearly this is an issue of A, corporations not adhering to the laws that are there, and B, and this is important, the regulations governing how close that these types of plants can be to schools, nursing homes, population centers are left up to the local zoning authorities. So the EPA or the feds couldn't tell them how close they could be to other things. And you look at a place like Texas, which happens to be a kind of a very right-wing state, which tends to be anti-regulation, you have to think that that anti-regulation type of thought process, and I'm not going to blame for anything, but it's certainly an issue that should be discussed, just like the issues that killed these other three people should be discussed.
Yeah, I think the media looks at this and they say, well, it's an accident. And of course, it was technically an accident. Clearly, no one, at least there's no evidence anyone intended to start that fire. Somebody
right.
accidentally started a fire. People accidentally start fires all the time. I don't think there's any evidence, at least right now, that it was arson. So they say, well, this was an accident, and sure, 15 people died. That's tragic. But these four people were intentionally killed up in Boston. But see, I think that misses part of the story because it was an accident, but it was an accident waiting to happen.
Right.
It was an accident because the company did not have an evacuation plan. It was
right.
an accident because the company did not warn about the dangers that were existing within that company. And it was actually waiting to happen because, as you point out, Garland, the regulations were uneven. The Environmental Protection Agency, they regulated the liquid, what's called anhydrous ammonia,
right.
which is also
right.
explosive. And then you have the Department of Homeland Security, and they regulate the solid. Which
the
is ammonium
nitrate. Yeah.
And then Texas regulated the fertilizer. In fact, Texas had visited the plant on April 5th, Less than 2 weeks before the explosion, Texas officials visited the plant, but their job, I think, was just to check that the seed was okay. Because this place is basically a warehouse. They would take in seed and fertilizer and sell to farmers later. They didn't make the ammonium nitrate at this place. It was a storehouse, basically. But the main thing is that because people think of it as an accident, they don't explore it. And yet, again, this company should have known better. And had they known better and followed the regulations that existed, had the regulations been stronger, I'm quite confident there would have been a lot fewer deaths, a lot fewer injuries. Remember, a couple hundred people were injured here, just like a couple hundred people were injured in Boston. Now, if they had known that this plant could blow up, then presumably the moment the fire started, they would have evacuated at least a mile around. It turns out many evacuations didn't happen until after the explosion.
Right. And see, they had to require, the federal law required that they had to have a risk management report plan.
That's right.
Okay. In 2006, they got fined for no risk management plan. And in the latest paperwork they filed with the federal government, they must have somehow forgot that they had 270 tons of ammonium nitrate because they didn't advise the feds, which now, and keep in mind something. Since they didn't advise the federal government, if they had a fire and they really felt that they should have advised the local government that they had these 270 tons of ammonium nitrate, they may be hesitant to do it. They may be looking at it saying, you know, we didn't tell the federal government. They don't know we have all of this explosive stuff here. We better not tell the locals or, you know, they may rat us out and we're going to, so let's just keep this quiet, get this fire out and move on. You know,
I think they may have told the local government. As I recall, I think they filed one form with the local officials who did not file that form with the federal officials. But what it shows is there's a huge patchwork of regulation that is, frankly, ineffective. And one of the things that always gets me is when President Obama, or frankly any Democrat, tries to streamline regulation to make it effective, to say, well, you know what, it doesn't make sense to have the EPA regulate one part, and it's far more scary to regulate another part, particularly when these two substances together are more dangerous than either one is apart. And they try to streamline regulations. What's the first thing you hear from Republicans? Oh, no, regulation, that kills business. That's bad. Regulation's always bad. And then, well, people die. And it'll be interesting to see whether Republicans are willing now to support regulation over this. I wouldn't be surprised if they filibustered that.
Absolutely, because keep in mind, there's an ideology in this country, a right-wing ideology that says all regulation is bad, which I always point out from a philosophical perspective is the same as saying all regulation is good. If you say every regulation is bad, there's no difference between saying that and every regulation is good. It's two sides of the same coin. Both of them are extreme positions, and neither could possibly be correct. But we have an element in our country that said we should do away with the EPA. We should defund the EPA. We should do away with the EPA. And I do want to tell you, there is some good news. Recently, there was some federal legislation introduced. It was one Democrat and 10 Republicans. And I might add that this legislation was endorsed by the Fertilizer Institute. They introduced a bill that would limit the EPA's regulatory authority over fertilizer plants.
Wow. So they actually have less regulation than this plant has.
So while you and I are making the point that the government has not been addressing this issue of explosive materials in fertilizer plants and the EPA dealing with it, in fact, they have very much been attempting to address it. The Republicans and one Democrat, I might add, have been working with the Fertilizer Institute to come up with a way that there is less regulation.
I'll give you another factor, Garland, which I found is when I read it in the New York Times. Under the Texas regulation, the Texas, and I forget the name of the safety and public assistance, I don't remember the name of the agency that regulates these things at the state level. But apparently the state's leading chemist was interviewed by the New York Times, and he said there's 115 dangerous plants or warehouses where they store ammonium nitrate, but he is forbidden by law to tell the public where those plants are located. So if you don't want to build your house next to a bomb factory, you can't know. You can know if there's a child molester next door, but you can't know if next door to you is the equivalent of a bomb stronger than Oklahoma City, right next door, because he's forbidden by law. Fascinating. from telling Texans, hey, guess what? There's a bomb next door.
Well, you know, the Oklahoma City bomb was a firecracker. It was a match next to this one. And then we bring, of course, going once again in Texas, Mayflower, Texas, of the 29th of March. And this pipeline pops. This pipeline apparently was built in 1948. And it's carrying 95,000 barrels per day. I don't know about you, Mark, but right off the bat, those two things kind of, you know, leave me a little hesitant to think that,
right.
You know, built in 1948, carrying 95,000 barrels per day. How, this is not hard to predict that something like this, like a 20-foot rip, tens of thousands of barrels of oil come, and this is some pretty mucky stuff because this is this tar sands oil, the same stuff they want to pump through the XL pipeline, which will be coming through a new pipeline and older pipelines, God only knows how old. So, you know, when it comes to an explosion to terrorism, which rightfully we should be concerned with, and we should certainly devote significant resources to terrorism. But these other issues here are posing existential threats to our citizens in a significant way also. But it just seems as though when it comes to corporations in America that everything is done to corporate. And, you know, and from my opinion, I mean, if you look at the history of corporations in America, I am not anti-corporation whatsoever. I just feel that we need the regulations to keep corporations in line. That by their very nature, they work to make a profit and a profit only, and they will do lots of things that are bad for people if left to their own merits. So I think that the issue of the corporations in themselves aren't dangerous. The big banks in themselves aren't dangerous. The fact that we leave them in an unregulated or poorly regulated environment proposes tremendous threats to our citizens' lives, economic and financial well-being, but we ignore those things and we address things. Things are so out of proportion here, and that's not to minimize the importance of the Boston bombings and of the potential for terrorism, if you know what I'm saying, Mark.
Well, I just think there's also a potential for a lot more danger. I mean, terrorism has killed less than 100 Americans since September 11th. Maybe it's 400 Americans, something like that. It's definitely less than 1,000 since September 11th. We have 30-plus thousand that die a year per gun.
Right.
So you got a million people that died in the last decade due to guns. A million Americans that have died due to guns. And you've got less than 1,000 that have died in the last decade due to terrorism. So just in terms of, I mean, you know, your chance of being hit by lightning are greater than your chance of being harmed by terrorists. But your chance of being harmed by a gun is quite severe. Your chance of being harmed in an industrial accident is also severe because just look, take the practice of fracking, which is the way they now drill for natural gas, that's being very much promoted by the Republicans. And what they're doing is they're injecting huge quantities, it's huge pressure of water and sand and chemicals into the earth to get this shale to break it up so that it gets into gas. But it's still unknown exactly what it means when you pump all this into the earth. And there's even been some earthquakes in certain areas because, you know, you put enough water, you pump it forcibly into the ground, and guess what? The earth shifts.
Right.
And not to mention the possibility that chemicals can leach into the groundwater. They're thinking of doing the Keystone Pipeline over Nebraska. The aquifer in Nebraska is one of the largest in the world. It's the reason we have such terrific agriculture in our plain states, in Kansas and Nebraska. What if the chemicals suddenly damage it and we have no more wheat, no more corn? This would be a major devastation to America. It's not at all to say that what happened in Boston wasn't a horrible thing and we need to punish the terrorists. Of course we do. But we are not giving enough attention to the real dangers that corporations can do. One last example, the financial crisis.
Mm-hmm.
The banks alone, a few people on Wall Street, probably less than 1,000 people on Wall Street, caused a major world recession that affected every single person listening to my voice right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the power of corporations is much greater than the power of terrorists, and mm-hmm. yet the discussion about them is way less.
An argument could be made that the people on Wall Street, to some extent, were corporate terrorists. They were corporate terrorists. I mean, my gosh, the devastation that they caused. But once again, let me say this. you know, if there's a football game going on and you say to, you know, the players that you can do whatever you want in the game, you can bite the other players, you can poke them in the eyes, you can do whatever, the players on the field are going to do it. And if you get rid of the rules and regulations and allow the banks to do whatever they want and get rid of Glass-Steagall, this was not hard to predict. This is pretty much, in fact, if you go to, I believe it was 82, it was a Republican named Saint Germain, I think Chuck Schumer and someone else introduced the Savings and Loan Deregulation Act back in 82. 5 or 6 years later, we had the savings and loan crisis, which cost us $550 billion in those days, which is a lot more today. So how hard was it to predict that when we deregulated the banks, that the same exact thing, in fact, it would have been anomalous if it didn't happen. Well, let me give out the number for those of you who may want to get involved in this conversation. Here on News Views, you're listening to 89.3 FM WPFW on every Friday, I guess. Every Friday. I can't keep up with the days. Every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. We're talking about a lot of very interesting things. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. You may agree with us. You may say we're being too hard on the corporations. We're being too easy on them. We're being too easy on a terrorist, hard on a terrorist, whoever. But we've got a lot of very serious issues here. And as Mark said, very importantly, you know, Mark, I grow a small garden, so I'll go to a garden center and buy a little old thing of fertilizer. You know, Lord knows I'm not, you know, a farmer by any stretch of the imagination. I grow a few plants and tomato plants and stuff. But when you go to buy fertilizer, if you want to buy certain types of fertilizer, it's called urea. It's ammonium nitrate. You can make bombs out of it. If you want to go buy that fertilizer, you have to show your ID. They make a picture of you. They take a picture of it, and off you go with your bag of fertilizer. But if you want to go to a gun show and buy yourself a Bushmaster and a 100-round clip, you just walk in there and walk out. So if you want to buy a bag of fertilizer for your tomatoes, you gotta go through a little bit. Got somebody? We got a call on the line. We've got William. William, welcome to WPFW.
Good evening.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, I think that your focus is misplaced.
Okay.
I think our focus need to be more on the criminal element that's in our government, that's amassing powers because they are able to commit crimes without being punished. The United States is the number one arms dealer in the world. Most of these rebel groups around the world get their weapons from the United States. The drones have killed over 200 kids, and no one's talking about banning the use of drones. I don't hear anyone mentioning anything about banning the use of drones. And you have criminals of the United States are committing black op operations in this country, and they're using their control of the media to spread propaganda, hiding the facts. As a matter of fact, when you tell the truth today, they call it a conspiracy theory when people start stating facts backed by proof and evidence. They get away from that, and everybody just voice their opinions, and they sidestep the truth. I mean, how many people know that two other people was caught at their school shooting that they didn't mention? How many people know that they had a drill that morning, a bomb drill at the marathon?
But I don't want to get too far away. You know, I understand what you're saying, but I don't want to we can sometimes, unfortunately, we can go too far away from the subject, and then we end up getting into a little bit of everything. But I mean, you bring up some very good points, certainly. And it's not that we're missing out on that or that don't see the importance of that. Certainly, those are very important issues. It's just that, you know, when you do a show from week to week, there's going to be, you know, 100 topics. You hit one topic, you do the best you can with that. And certainly, you know, we appreciate you bringing up that issue. Appreciate you calling WPFW. But, you know, there's always going to be issues that we can't hit. 202-588-0893. Mark.
Well, I got nothing to say because you're talking about drones, and we have done shows on drones.
Right.
But today I think we should talk about the Texas plant and then the power of corporations. And if you want to compare and you think the marathon bombing is more important, I think that's a fair point of discussion, too. Do we have another caller?
Yes, we do. Ramey, welcome to WPFW. Do we have Ramey on the line? Well.
Hey, guys.
Oh, there we go. We thought maybe a corporation had got you there, Raymond. He ran and dragged your way.
Yeah, let me just throw this at you guys. I'd be interested in your comments. This explosion in Texas, it wasn't in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in Chicago. It wasn't. I'm wondering, because we're not, I don't want to call them poor people.
They were poor people.
Yep.
Yeah, they were poor people.
We don't really,
you can call them that. They were poor people.
We don't care. I mean, had it hit, you know, it didn't happen in New York City. I mean, the thing in Boston, we're supposed to be sorrier for people in Boston than we are down for folks in Texas. Like you said, there's a great school nearby, you know, everything. But I just want to hear you guys comment on the role class plays into this.
Excellent.
I think Randy makes a very good point, and I think it's very clear. These were poor people, lower middle class people, people struggling, people who work in factories in a rural Texas town. Boston is a major American city. Mm-hmm. It happened in the glare of a major event, the Boston Marathon. It's going to get more media attention. And I think it has to do partly with the fact that these were poorer people and partly with the fact that it's out of the way. No one had heard of West Texas. Except for maybe a few Texans, prior to this incident. Everyone's heard of Boston.
Yeah,
so we have a media bias, and the media bias is toward the big cities. It is toward the big events. It's toward, you know, the president and things like that. Certainly if something happens in Washington, the media is going to cover it, but it's not going to cover rural Texas very well. And I also think the caller's right that it has to do with the people. If this had happened in a ritzy neighborhood of Dallas, we would have heard a lot more about it than the poor people of West Texas. I absolutely agree.
Yes, certainly. And, you know, as we were discussing earlier, you know, they're going to the media is always going to shade in the direction of corporations. And here's the other thing about media, about terrorism that I always like to throw out there also. It's just like war. Believe it or not, there is a lot of money made by corporations regarding terrorism and homeland security. I personally worked dealing with the issue of homeland security in my former career. I recall very clearly an instance in which there was some federal money that was to buy something. I think it was like chemical suits for employees. And I said, we don't need them. No, don't buy the chemical suits. You know, it's going to be like $60,000+ for people who aren't going to use them, number one. And number two, they're only good for like 2 years and you have to throw them away. So we're going to ride them around for 2 years and throw them away. Don't do it. Don't waste the money. It came in. Well, what do you think happened? I got a letter that said the chemical suits have been ordered. So there are a lot of corporations, and when it comes to the fear of terrorism and the whole homeland security issue, there are a lot of companies that are making a whole lot of money. There are a lot of corporations that, and of course, including the media, as you said, it's, you know, a sexy thing to happen. When CNN has a war or a terrorist attack or whatever, look at their ratings, look at their numbers. I'm not saying that CNN or MSNBC or Fox or any other companies, or any of the other companies are saying, boy, we can't wait for a terrorism attack. But I will say there's a lot of money in that, and there's not as much money in, well, look how many people have been killed by guns since the terrorism attack. Look how many people have died in other ways. Look how many people have died because they had no health care. There's no money in that. But we're going to have to take a break. We've got a couple people on the line, Mark. My name's Garland Nixon, and I'm here with Mark Levine. You're listening to News Views. You can call in 202-588-0893, WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. We'll be back in 1 minute, and we'll start getting to our callers.
Hello, I'm Dr. E. Faye Williams, National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women. And you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Garland Nixon here with Mark Levine on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. We're talking, about corporations. We're talking about the Boston bombings and the oil spill in Mayflower, Texas, and the explosion in Texas. I don't remember. Do you remember the name of the town?
Hey, Garland, in Arkansas, isn't
the
it?
Earl's, no, I thought it was in Mayflower somewhere. Yeah, well, it's in Arkansas, wherever the case
is. It's Arkansas.
Okay. Texas, Arkansas, you know, I hate to say it, Mark, it's all the same to me from over on the East Coast. I don't know the difference.
Yeah,
in fact, I've driven through Arkansas.
You're just part of the media elite, Garland. You can choose Arkansas and Texas.
You're right about that. Axel, welcome to WP.
For me, I just want to, out of all the elements of society, media is so detrimental for the health of nations. Because when media does not, like you discussed the shale, when the media doesn't, unfortunately, the public, it's a democracy, the public votes, they have the freedom to vote, but the public is brainwashed. And if the media is not objective, then the public votes for what is their ultimate destruction, i.e., allowing the shale based on your description. I don't think the average voter, usually more a Republican, understands what it means. And the same thing, like you said, the Boston bombings, terrorism is a very, I think Rahm Emanuel said that never let a crisis go to waste. You know, when they have some kind of event like that, they have to kind of draw it out all the way. And everybody that benefits from it are going to kind of harvest from it. And so, you know, something blew up in Texas. And, you know, is it anything tied to the terrorism piggy bank? No? Then, you know, okay, we'll just drop a few points here. And so I just believe that media is it should be regulated because, you know, you just can't leave it to profit. And that's my point. Thank you.
Mark?
I appreciate the point. I agree with him about a lot of things, but I guess I don't come to the same conclusion. I don't believe the media should be regulated because I think the danger of regulating the media is greater than the danger of media not covering an event. To me, the best way to push media to cover an event is to do what you and I do, Garland, to come on air and talk about it. And also, listeners could do it. They can write to the media. They can write it on blogs. They can tweet. They can put it on Facebook. There's actually a lot of power that the ordinary public has today they didn't have 10, 20 years ago. So we should call the media out. To me, this is a question of free speech. Mm-hmm. And the best way to fight bad free speech, and again, I'm the first to condemn the media for not covering Texas very much, but the best way to fight it is with more free speech, to have programs like ours. I'm afraid of government regulation. Again, imagine George Bush is in power, and he wants to regulate the media to not talk about drone strikes or accidental killings in Iraq. I think that in this case, the solution would be worse than the problem.
Yeah, that's certainly a very valid argument here. We've got, I believe, John, welcome. Dion, I was close. Dion, welcome to WPFW.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Wonderful.
Just one of the things, you know, I was listening to your radio show, and I just want to stress this. You know, what do we call terrorism? The people that, you know, did the Boston bombing, these people are a part of our country, just as much a part of it as we are. And that's the thing. And you got something eating at you from the out, from the inside. And that's the hard thing to do. Things like this happen all over the world every day. I mean, let's just face it. You know, sometimes we get kind of caught up in, you know, like you guys say, the media. We care more about Kim Kardashian's baby than we actually care about our own public schools or what can we do to better society. I think that, you know, a lot of these things have become poison. You know, major corporations taking advantage of people just considering them as numbers and just, you know, just letting them, you know, just go about their day. When things like this happen, they're able to, you know, pay money or, you know, file bankruptcy or whatever they, you know, can do, and they're out of it. They get a green card. But if me and you on a regular level commit a crime, we are going to prison. We are getting the book.
That's
I mean, I live in Washington, D.C. You know, I see so much in front of me where you go to one part of the city, oh, my God, you wouldn't even think that you're in D.C. You go to the other half, and it's poverty. And it just, it blows me away, but people are so caught up in the media. You know, today is the Boston bomber, tomorrow is the fertilizer. David Beckham just had a new surgery on his knee. Everybody's back to doing exactly what they were supposed to do or whatever they thought that they were doing. So it's just, it's amazing.
Thanks a lot, Dion. You know, he brings a lot of good points. And, you know, as much as we do complain about the media, Lord knows that Mark and I do, and certainly I'm sure a lot of my listeners, the reality is, too, that we do as individuals have some responsibility to research and to find things. And I do. But, you know, the other part of that is, too, to be fair, you know, things are so unequal right now. And, you know, I could get into this, but the working class is under assault, is under attack right now. You know, one of the most horrible assaults in the history in recent years. So many people are just trying to survive. They're working two jobs and three jobs and they're trying to make it. That they don't have time to research. And so they come home and they turn on the TV and what they see is what they get. So while I may have time or some people may have time, there's a lot of people that's just trying to make it and not even making it. But they're just struggling and they're trying. And so when they turn on the media, they see what they see and they believe it's real when many times, what you're turning on and you think is news is filler to keep you interested between the advertisements.
Well, one more thing I would say, though. I guess I want to add a caveat. I said that I didn't want the government regulating the media. I think I made a too strong a point. I'll give you an exception. I don't want the government regulating the content of the media, telling the media what to say. On the other hand, I am okay with government regulating excessive ownership.
Right.
Rupert Murdoch, you know, owning 35% or so of all media in a town or in this country, that's too much. The Koch brothers, for example,
are about to buy out
the Los Angeles Times and destroy what used to be a very, very strong newspaper, one of the best in the country. So if you have media consolidation where a few corporations and a few people control all the information we're getting, I'm okay with government regulating that. I'm not okay with government regulating content, but I am okay with government saying, sorry, no more than, say, 10% of the media in a certain town can be owned by any specific entity. That I'm okay with.
Yeah, because we kind of get a thing like third parties, you know, where you've got a couple of big parties who have all the money and there's no room for third parties. That's the reality. We got to deal with the two parties we get. And then you end up with a couple people owning all the media and there's no room for anyone else to come in. There's no small, you turn on the local media. There was a time when there were local stations. Well, now you turn on and you go to Baltimore and it's Fox 45. You come to DC, it's Fox 5. You go to, you know, all of the various cities and you're really looking at the same news from the same company. We've got Nathan. Nathan, welcome to WPFW. Thank you for calling.
Good evening. The government is already regulating the media. It's state-run media. The Pentagon is putting out propaganda, and the media is putting it out like it's fact. Just like yesterday, they came up with this thing about the nerve gas. The Pentagon put it out, and all this the so-called mainstream media put it out that it was true without even checking on it. So the government is already regulating the media. It's number government propaganda. And I tried to find the drone hearings all over the media the other day, but I couldn't find them nowhere. See, the government is doing that. The government is telling these people, don't put that on TV. I couldn't find the hearings except on Democracy Now. If it wasn't for Democracy Now, I wouldn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. And Obama is a blame. You said the middle class is under attack. Obama is doing that. Oh, if you were to watch it, yeah, I know you've seen Democracy Now the other day. Obama is an evil, evil man. He's worse than Bush. He's worse than Reagan. He's worse than all of them. But y'all so-called liberals keep on standing up for him. I don't understand it. When y'all going to march on Washington?
Thank you, Nathan. Certainly appreciate your call. I don't necessarily agree with you. Those who say Obama's worse than anybody or worse than anybody. One of the points I always make is this, you know, historically, when we look back, if you look back to FDR, when, you know, people say, oh, the wonderful things we got from FDR, but we also got a bunch of Japanese people put in internment camps. He didn't support the anti-lynching laws. He wouldn't segregate the, there was a lot of things from FDR that you could look at and say, you know what, that was Japanese people in, you know, in detention camps and no Germans. They were blonde haired and blue eyes and they were like a third of the country. So they weren't gone, even though they were the ones who were marching through the streets in support of the Nazis. But so FDR, then you go to LBJ. LBJ is with the Great Society. It was wonderful things, but we also had a little problem called the Vietnam War. So the reality is, when you look at the great things from FDR, you look at the great things from LBJ, you go to President Obama, anyone who thinks that they're going to get a president who gives them all these wonderful things without some really crappy things either doesn't understand history or doesn't understand politics or both. Mark, you have a comment before we jump to our next caller?
No, I agree with you. Let's go to the next caller.
Next caller, please. Tesfa.
Good evening, my friend.
Good evening, my friend.
Good evening, Tesfa.
Are you there? Okay.
Look, the United States is a country that has winners of the Nobel Prize, the largest number of winners of Nobel Prize in science, in economics, in all fields. But in the United States, the politics is decided by the Tea Party, the least informed part of society. And this is making the United States less attractive and less, how can I say it? Anyway,
competitive.
Decisions have to be made by investigating that particular problem in all ways. And society, as a society today, the United States has a responsibility to its children. This country will be passed to the children today who inherit what the United States creates today and what will affect the future. So the United States has to have decisions made not by ideology, but by pragmatism and scientific studies.
You know,
right wing, but by everybody who thinks right.
Well, and I agree with you there. Yeah, I agree with you there, Tesfa. But here's the issue. When you talk about the decisions and government decisions being made through, you know, rational, you know, pragmatism, et cetera. You know, we can get back to, you know, Aristotle and Socrates, how they talked about decisions should be made by the government in favor of the people, et cetera. But the bottom line is this. When you really get into politics, politics are not about rational decisions. Politics are all about emotion. People convince themselves that they're making rational decisions, and they do what's called motivated reasonings. People come up with something that they believe, and then they start reasoning why, and they come up with reasonings to prove what they already believe. That's called motivated reasoning. So, yeah, I agree with you. Things should be rational. But when it comes to politics, they've never been and never will be. Mark.
Tesla reminds me of one of the most famous quotes of Winston Churchill, which I'll paraphrase as follows. Democracy is the worst system in the world, except for all the others.
Yeah, and you know what?
There's a lot of wisdom in that. There's a lot of problems with democracy. Tesla points out, right? Educated people are not always the ones voting. But I would really fear a society that said you had to have a certain education level in order to vote. So, yeah, I don't like that uneducated people vote, that uninformed people vote. One of the reasons I do what I do on the radio is to inform people so they can be informed when they vote. But, you know, I'm not ready to take the vote away from the uninformed. So, yes, the Tea Party's out there. They're going to vote. They don't necessarily know what's going on. And it's our job, and not just job at the media and on radio, but I think it's every American's job to inform their neighbor, inform their colleagues at work, inform their family and friends, and let them know, hey, you have some wild ideas that just aren't true. So that's part of what a democracy does, and it's imperfect, but it's better than any other system I know of.
Yeah, and you know, Mark, I feel like this also right now. And the cynical Garland's going to come out. And once again, you listen to 89.3 FM WPFW here in Washington, D.C. The cynical Garland's going to come out. In looking at what has and is happening in our economy, in our society, and worldwide today, as a result of our capitalist economic policies, such as they are. I'm not saying capitalism is good or bad or indifferent. Until you add people, until you add the natural things that come along with it, and you take away regulation. Right now, I think one of the issues is this. There was a time when you said corporations, government, media, etc. Well, now there is but one. when you say corporations, government, media, the people from the corporations go to the government, the people from the leave the government, they go to corporations, the media is owned by corporate. So you've got this one kind of amorphous blobby mess of corporations, media, and government all stuck together. Which,
they call it the revolving door.
Right, which has now, and I'm looking at it a different way, I don't even see it as a door, unless, you know, you talk about the three doors in the same house, you know, where you're just going from one room to the other. But I do think that we're in a world of trouble. If you look since 2011, the so-called recovery, there was a recovery. There was, in fact, recovery. However, the only people that benefited from it, the richest 7% saw their incomes rise by 28%. The other 93% saw their incomes drop by 4%. Cynical Garland says that we are now in a mess in which, this is the way I'll put it. If you have a machine, let's say you have a machine in a factory and that machine creates 12-ounce soup cans, right? What you're going to get at the end of that machine is 12-ounce soup cans. You're not going to get pineapples. You're not going to get bicycles. You're going to get 12-ounce soup cans because that's what that machine produces, isn't it? When it comes to our economy now produces what? Our economy produces a small portion of money for a whole lot of people and a huge portion of money for a tiny little bit of people. That 93-7, boy, if that was a football game, can you imagine that? 93-7, the working people lost to the wealthy. That was a blow. Yeah, that was pretty bad blowout. But that 93-7 is now what our economy produces, and it's not going to change in 1 or 2 years and start producing pineapples or bicycles. It will continue, and I don't see any way with the level of power that the corporations have now that our government will be motivated to, or if they are motivated to, will be able to change the economy, which means that we're in a world of deep and serious trouble, and we're heading downhill. Mark, we've got I was going to go to you, Mark, but Dion, is this a different Dion? We got a new Dion?
No, it's the same Dion.
Okay. All right, well, yes, keep it brief here, Dion. We might have a couple other calls. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Yes, Dion. And we must have motivated you where you really had to say something.
Well, it's just, you know, I'm 26 years old, and just in today's society, man, this is an I just want to say this is an excellent way of communicating and creating, you know, ideas and sparking people and giving them inspiration and not saying this is propaganda. You look on the internet and they place things on the internet, everybody's saying, oh, it's a hoax, or, you know, like this little thing that happened with Obama, the stock market went down, son. Mm-hmm. Wow. And
right,
then all of a sudden, oh, everything's okay. Let's just return back to normal. And, you know, what happened to everything that just went down the drain temporarily? You know, what are we building as a defense, like I said, on ground level to make this country a stronger country for equal people? Let's not forget about slavery. Let's not forget about, you know, what happened throughout the history of this country, man. I've toured the National Mall, and there's a lot of things that the museums has revealed to me that I was like, man, I wouldn't have never known this. You know, and it has, you know, like you guys said, through the media, through education, it has a lot to do with that. But here's where it comes. They're making cuts at schools. They're making, you know, like you said, the TV shows, the news has been owned by one big corporation. They're controlling our communication. It's like cattle in a field, son. If you got grass, you're going to eat no matter what.
Mark.
I don't have much to add on that.
Okay. I just want to make sure everybody knows something very important, and that is I'm enjoying the show. Mark's enjoying the show. I hope you're enjoying the show. The reason we're enjoying the show is because on the other side of the glass, we've got a man by the name of Bill Witherspoon, who is
terrific.
He's terrific. And, you know, I walk around there every now and then, and I see all these slides and lights and buttons and phones flashing and microphones, and he's doing all kind of things and fixing my Mark and I's, the mistakes that Mark and I make, and I think the man must be a wizard. You know, he's doing something that's very important. I don't know what it is because that stuff back there is too technical for me to understand, but it's important for you to know out there. This wouldn't happen without Bill. You hear the on-air, and I use this word loosely, talent. saying saying the things that we say. But you don't see Bill and you don't see our engineers back there really working hard and making keeping WPFW on the air. And Mark and I certainly want to thank Bill Witherspoon for what he does to make this happen. And you know, Mark, I think one of the things I am very happy to hear that we've got a 26-year-old listener here on WPFW who is listening, who is calling, and who is interested in these subjects. I mean, isn't that great, Mark?
It is. It is. And that's one of the things that differs, I think, progressive radio from conservative radio, which tends to only have, well, old white men, a very limited audience. We have a much broader audience. I'm always proud of that.
Yeah. 202-588-0893. We got a couple lines open. We're talking about any number of things. We had definitely talked about the issue of corporations. And, you know, one thing I want to bring up, Mark, that I've got to bring up every week from now on, I've got to bring this word up. Because ever since we had this show on it, it just sticks in my mind. And every time I drive past one, I think about it. And that is Walmart. Every week, I'm always going to mention Walmart. The people really should go online and really look into what's going on with Walmart and the crime, the absolute crime, in my opinion, that you have six people, the Walton family, six people. How do they sleep at night? I don't know. But you've got six people who have the equal wealth of approximately the 30% poorest people in this country. 100 million, 90 to 100 million people. Seven people have the same amount of money. Yet they refuse to pay their workers a decent wage. They refuse to provide these people with benefits. Yet they encourage them to go on social programs so you and I can pay the price. So every week I've got to mention Walmart. I don't go in there, and I encourage others to say I'm not anti-corporation. I'm not anti-Walmart. You know what? If Walmart started paying their people a decent wage and providing some benefits, I'd be fine with it. That's why I go to Costco, because they're responsible. Before we go back to Costco, Mark.
I suspect that the people in West Texas did not make a very high wage either.
Yeah.
I somehow suspect that.
Yes. Okay, we got two callers. Who's that? John. We got John. John, welcome to WPFW. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Wonderful.
Hey, you guys were mentioning 26-year-old calling, and I'm actually 24. I've been in the military 6 years, and I had a little bit of a perspective on the Tea Party comment that one of the radio men made a second ago. I think a lot of maybe Tea Party people listen to this station, and I don't think they'd like to hear that they don't have any good ideas or don't know what's going on. I think something that's really interesting about the Tea Party movement is it was kind of like a hijacked one, and these kind of movements are kind of born out of people being upset, sort of like the Islamic Revolution of 79 in Iran. But, I mean, I certainly agree that some of the mainstream Tea Party stuff is completely ridiculous, but not everyone who listens to this radio station is completely politically or ideologically allied with the people who speak on the program. So I think it could be to the detriment of the show to kind of generalize people or something like that. But back to the Boston incident, one thing I really wanted to say about that, and by the way, I'm totally on board with you guys and what you said about the economic issues in this country and the disparity and how the grass is too green on one side and there's no grass on the other. But the Boston thing, I think we really need to take away from that is how complacent or comfortable were we with the amount of militarization and police mobilization that happened in Boston over an attack that was maybe interesting because the story played out like a movie, but at the same time, was it really that serious to warrant FBI, SWAT team, vehicles mobilized all throughout the city? And even after they had apprehended the last suspect, that militarization seemed to remain. So I just kind of wanted to bring that up, see what you guys thought about that.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, Mark.
I think that's a really good point, actually. By the way, in terms of the Tea Party comment, I was commenting on what Tesla said. I do think there's a lot of ignorant Tea Party people out there, but not all of them are. Part of the problem with the Tea Party movement, it was hijacked by the Republican Party, so the people that had real strong views were sort of, I think, misled.
Let me
get to the other question real quick. Just about Boston. One of the things I think that we should learn from what happened was the reason why this guy was caught was not because of the mobilization, and I know the police tried very hard, but when they stopped and they told the citizens they could go out of their house, lo and behold, a guy goes out and finds out that his boat is flapping the cover on it, and so he finds the terrorist. So I think it shows the power of ordinary people rather than the police. The other thing about the police is they ended up shooting up the boat, and the suspect had no guns in it. So
they worked hard, no question about it. But sometimes ordinary people can do just a good job.
And even the other part of it is this. Had they not mobilized to that level, there have been a lot of people that would complain. So I got mixed emotions about that. But we've got Ginger. I want to get a few calls that you're listening to 89.3 FM WPFW. Garland, Nixon, and Mark Levine's on the line with us. Ginger, thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm interested in your take on all of the things that President Obama has done around the country regarding killing innocent civilians.
Thank you very much. Well, I don't know that President Obama has killed a lot of innocent civilians around the around the country. I certainly know there's the issue of drone attacks and things like that. And the
she may have been referring to other people. I hope that's what she's referring to.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Like
yeah.
Newtown, Connecticut, killing right. innocent civilians, or Texas, and Boston,
or the daily shootings of you know young black men, unfortunately, all too frequently, in you know Chicago and all of their cities, and innocent people and wives getting shot by their husbands every day, and all these other horrible things that's going on. But we've got enough. We got 5 minutes, so we get another caller or two. Steven, we only got a minute. We want to try to get in our last caller, but thank you for calling.
Okay. My comment is this. Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
Yes, my comment is this. I've served about 38 years in the military,
mm-hmm.
and my last duty station was at the Pentagon, and I've got to travel all over the world. But what was failed to mention in the United States, and a part of the United States, is that this is a capitalistic society. Everything is built on capitalism. And they're talking about the regulations and deregulations and stuff. It's all about making the money. Now, in reference to the Tea Party is predominantly a Ku Klux Klan organization that has gone underground. No one wants to mention that. No one wants to bring that subject up. But now it's been connected with the political party called the Republican Party. Now, these guys are not wearing hoods anymore. They're wearing suits. They're on Wall Street. They're in major corporations. And no one wants to mention that. But that's part of what's going on here now. That's giving Obama a hard time to clean up some of the mess that was left behind by the Bush administration.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. That's your minute. Sorry to cut you off so quick. We got one more call we want to get to. And as I said, you know, I got my issues with the Tea Party, but for those Tea Party members who may be listening, who call in, our last listener's gone, okay, I feel like this, you know, I've certainly the one gentleman who, you know, I sound as though he may be a supporter somewhat of the Tea Party was, I guess, offended by some statements that were made. However, I feel that it's important as long as our listeners and our callers, you know, they're not using foul language and they're not, you know, personally attacking people. That I think it's we can, you know, if he wanted to call and go after whatever particular organization that he didn't like, as long as it wasn't, you know, ethnic or race or something like that. I certainly, you know, I certainly think that any statement that is made with some level of taste, that we have a responsibility to allow our people to say that.
Well, what do
you
real think, Mark? Quick, there are some racists in the Tea Party, but I would never say that
think?
The entire Tea Party is racist or part of the Ku Klux Klan. That's just not true.
Yeah, there might be one that isn't. No, I'm just joking, Mark. Just joking. Now, that's going to make some people mad, Jim, because I'm joking. The reality is, though, you know, here's a reality. If you are a conservative or if you are a Tea Party member or a Tea Party supporter out there listening to this listen to this program, what you should take away from it is this. Regardless of what the Tea Party is or isn't, it is viewed in the black community. In the black community, it is viewed, it is seen, it is understood to be a racist organization overall. It is understood. That's not the first time. I'm a black man. That's not the first time I've heard a black person refer to the Tea Party as the KKK. That's nothing unusual in the black community to hear.
No, but it is an exaggeration.
It is.
The KKK is bad enough. I don't think it's quite, look, I don't like the Tea Party, you know that.
Yep.
But sometimes I think when you exaggerate, you can talk about many of the problems the Tea Party has caused without comparing.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. I'm not going to do that. With me, it's not about attack. It's about policy. And, any organization or group. And if there is a policy area which I agree with the Tea Party, then I'm willing to work with them. But my point is this. When you listen to a show like this and you hear the callers call, you can learn what people think. You can learn what views are out there. And so, I, you know, I'm sorry if anyone is offended, but at least listen to our callers, listen to the views, and you can walk away and understand hopefully a little bit more than you did before. My name's Garland Nixon. I'm here with the brilliant Mark Levine on the line and Bill Witherspoon. He's behind the glass making everything happen. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C. And next... Next, you listen to Democracy Now. You've listened to News Views. I've been on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. But next, you get some really, really good music. If you're listening, if you've been talking or listening to talk radio and you've enjoyed that and you think, well, there's music coming on, I'm a talk radio listener, listen to the next show, Robin's Place with Robin Holden and Carol Tyson. You're really going to enjoy it. Stick around and listen to it. If you want to contact me, garlandn@gmail.com. That's garlandn@gmail.com. And I will be back next for News Views, 89.3 FM, WPFW, Washington, D.C., next Friday at 6 p.m.
Thanks for listening to the just completed Public Affairs or News program. As a listener-sponsored community radio station, WPFW appreciates your feedback, whether favorable or otherwise. To provide your feedback, even if it is regarding one of our many music programs, simply email us at info@wpfw.org. That's info@wpfw.org. Thanks.